economic health of this nation has
there are
been.
Four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline in the dollar.
For lack of a better word.
Late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Money Talks.
Well, good morning, good morning. This is Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most-respected money show on radio. I am Teddy Parrish today, joined in the studio by the good Dr. Gene Hensler, and we have a surprise, surprise.
Hey, it's good to be here,
yes.
Theodore.
We have a guy in here, Gene, that I used to call the kid and junior mayor. one of the big shots of Cherokee County. Matthew Hames.
Glad to be here.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
All right, listen. We got a lot of economic news.
A lot going on.
All of it new. I mean, all of it good. Ted, what's going on? It's bizarre. I'm telling you.
It is bizarre, but one thing that was, I think, left off of here that was negative, didn't the personal income data come out this week?
Yes, it was flat. And the other thing that came out this week, or it's been coming out, is that consumers not spending anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That the sales are flat, consumer spending is flat, and income barely rose. If it did, I try to remember the exact numbers, but it was
0.2 versus 0.3 estimates.
That's the weak link in the economy, and unfortunately, it's 70% of the economy.
Yep, that's right.
All the other numbers we're going to talk about here all look very favorable, but they're all just a smaller part of the economy. We had the ISM Manufacturers Index was up. That's a pretty good surprise, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, the largest increase since nine years, 2005.
Yeah, so it was a big jump. Inventory didn't rise, so that's good in the sense that you don't want to get that rise from increase in inventory, so they held relatively constant.
And what we have to keep in mind, these are surveys.
These are
surveys right here, so these aren't actual numbers. They're just an indication of what people expect. So, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
And that follows up with chain store sales being unchanged.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
And, you can't look at Costco and how the traffic is in Costco and look at and say the economy's doing well because Costco may be an isolated case. I haven't seen a time where you can go in there and not see any crowd.
Yes. Yeah. I figured out the timing on Costco, too.
You don't want to share that, do you?
No, I get it because most of you people can't do it. Go during a week. That's not a surprise, okay? And unless you're going to be in the door waiting at 10 o'clock, wait till 10:45.
Yeah.
And all those early birds who wanted to get away from everything else, you just pull right up in front and park.
They got a reserve parking spot.
Because all those people who came at 10:30 and 10:40 are parked four or five rows back. Just a little tip, a little savvy tip from the old professor. Just try to fill you in what's going on, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Mortgage applications, the entire growth on it was from refinances.
Yeah.
I don't see why that.
It comes in waves, and it looks like rates have ticked down a little to down to 4.19% for the 30-year. Mortgage rate. I mean, but that's not a huge surprise from where it was a few weeks ago.
No. In fact, it bumped a little bit this week, but it's down from what it was a little bit earlier. But I don't know. Maybe people just are paying attention to things. I mean, if the consumer is sort of holding onto the purse strings and looking for it, and you can see why.
Mm-hmm.
These government statistics on inflation are a joke.
Yeah.
Beef is an all-time high.
Yeah.
Beef prices.
Yeah.
Pork is up. And the reason pork's up because there's this disease, pork diarrhea disease, or that's what it's called, something like that.
Wow.
Porcine, what you call it? So that's down. Cattle, there's no water in a lot of places.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And then also, too, with corn prices were so high.
Yeah.
It was expensive to raise. Now corn prices have come down, but it's not like a pig you can turn over every 15 weeks or something. It takes a while for cattle. So we've got that at all-time highs, and it's hardly reflected in the rate of inflation, but we complained about this for ages and ages.
Yes, we have. Factory orders jumped big time this week. You had manufactured goods surging 10.5% in July.
But you got to cut – if you cut out – non-defense, including the aircraft, because Boeing got some big
orders.
Big orders and stuff. If you take that out, it's basically flat.
Yeah. So I'm surprised that those orders went into this month, this last month's numbers, uh-oh, given it was just, you know, the contract was just inked, you know.
I know, it says core capital goods orders, non-defense, excluding aircraft, fell by 0.7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But shipments rose 1.2.
Yeah.
So they're just talking about what's coming on the books.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling that plane for everything now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's
they're doing it for tankers. You know, they're doing it for to be a tanker, you know. Feed, you know, the refuel jets in the air and stuff like that. Okay. The Beige Book, and this is something most people, what's the Beige Book? It's just a thing that comes out all 12 Federal Reserve districts, mm-hmm, and how are things going. And it says it's up in all 12 districts.
And it's a lagging, too. It's a lagging indicator. It's usually after the fact, a month after the fact. Jobless claims rose 4,000 to 302,000. Pretty good number. But, you know, last week before last, it was the four-week moving average was below 300,000. And then it's up to 302 now, the four-week moving average. And they're saying it's rare. Well, we know it's rare.
You know? Business productivity rose 2.3% in the second quarter. It says compensation. We get some compensation growth was much slower than estimated.
Yeah,
coming along, and also international trade. The deficit was narrowing, so that'll
help GDP
there
a little.
The services, Teddy, how'd that do?
Services index was actually up pretty big, up to 59.6 from 58.7 in July, and it's the fifth increase in 6 months. So it's the highest since 2005. That's what I talked about.
So it might be. You know, people are going to the doctors and the dentists and all that sort of stuff like that, and hopefully seeing their financial advisor and their accountant. So that's where we're spending
the services economy.
Well, you know, you're getting into that time of the year where kids are back in school. So there's just a lot
They're
of
only back in school here.
Well,
come take a look. You got to understand something, Matt. I mean, here's just the deal. You know, you've been raised down here. You and Teddy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a northern boy. When
did you go back to school?
Well, after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Well, so did we. It's backed up over the years, even in the South.
It hasn't backed up there. Yeah. You know, I'm just telling you that the kids are just starting to go back to school there.
Little bambinos.
That's correct. That's right.
Well, that affects your spending, too, I think, though, like, especially even if it is
regionally.
I'm
just giving you a hard time, but
it's
true.
Even if it is regionally, you know, there's a lot of spending that happens going back into getting the kids in school. We talked about it. Actually, last time I was on the show with Eugene, you know, the average family in the United States that has a child, kindergarten through 12th grade, call it grammar school, through high school, spends just under $700 on average per child on back to school.
Yeah, I can believe that.
So psychologically, there's going to be a pullback on spending right after
and it gets all the more. Now, going back to the Stone Age, when I was a kid, your parents didn't buy you pencils. They didn't buy you anything.
Yeah.
You went there. It didn't cost anything if you played football.
That's right.
You played any sport.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays
every doggone thing. You know, he's got a kid playing.
Activity fee, and then there's a sports fee for every sport.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a racket, I tell you.
You know, the band got their own uniforms, got their, you know, the school provided the instruments, everything else, stuff like that. It's a different world. I know it's expensive for parents.
Yes, it is.
Then you got to equip those little brats with cell phones and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the technology.
I'm glad my child rearing days are over. I'm just telling you that right now.
Yeah. So,
let's talk briefly about the market for the week.
It's
down a little bit.
0.46 for the week.
Yeah. I saw something before I came in that the Dow was at a record high today at some point during the day.
Yeah.
And it's fallen off a little bit. This is Thursday.
You saw the news this morning. Mario Draghi of the ECB, European Central Bank, came out and they actually lowered their benchmark interest rate by 10 basis points to 5 basis points. And they're going to start an asset-backed securities purchasing program. So, I mean, they're pumping liquidity in. And I agree with him on asset-backed securities because that whole market in Europe has dropped 40% since 2010, the volume of asset-backed securities.
Well, they don't really have a bond market.
Yeah, it's not as
really effectively don't have a bond market. The United States is really the only fully liquid bond market there is. And the impact on that has been tremendous money flowing in. And also it's helped out. Fortunately, I'm going to Paris. Another week, 10 days.
Coming up, that's right.
And the
Euros week.
Euros 1.3144. And when I was in Italy 2 years ago, it was like 1.56 or 5.8, something like that.
Well, here's
so Paris is on sale.
Hopefully it goes to 1.25.
But trust me,
you.
It's not. They just raised the prices in euros. That's all. It's not on sale. All right. Quick company earnings. Teddy Toll Brothers, they build houses.
Big houses, big expensive houses.
Oh, they,
from like the average house is like over $700,000. They build up to $2 million homes. They had good numbers, Gene. They beat estimates, but they got it down for the year. They said the level of demand in housing is slowing a little, you know, and a little bit of a surprise. I think that given that I have a little bit of exposure to housing, I would say that what I'm seeing is just the sellers in the market, they're actually expecting too much for their homes.
I'd agree with that.
And the buyers, they still think it's 2010 when there are a lot of cheap values on the market and they're trying to make offers below full price. You know, so.
Well, listen, I went around today and yesterday, and we're looking at we're always looking at real estate to buy, but
sure.
Brought up a list of homes within a couple of miles, let's say 3 or 4 miles of Kennesaw Street, in Kennesaw, Kennesaw School System, for around $150,000.
Really?
I'm telling you right now, there are some nice homes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking nice homes. They're older homes, I'll say that.
Sure.
But I'm talking all brick, three-bedroom, two-bath, living room, dining room, family room, porch on the back, and all that sort of stuff like that. $149,000, $139,000, $129,000, depending. And I've seen some that, I mean, I'm talking about are pristine. So they're out there. But I think the problem what we have right now, Teddy, is that it was an interesting article, is that the banks will not make mortgages unless they meet their credit standards, not the federal government's. They got burnt terribly when the banks lent money to people that met the qualification of the government and sold those loans to the government or you know, Fannie Mae or whatever, stuff like that, and they kept better ones on their books.
Yeah.
And they came back and said, you're screwing us because of that. So right now the banks say, we don't believe anything you say. We're only going to make a loan to somebody who meets our standards of credit. And that hurts because those priced homes are obviously starter homes.
Yeah. You got to go through one regulatory cycle with banks under the new rules before you see them open their loosen the purse strings.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet.
Well, and it impacts that price point more than the other. Is the reality.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it's tough for that first-time house buyer to have the 20% down at the bank.
That's right.
You got to have.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, the person who bought a home 10 years ago, and even if they sell their home with not much of a profit, has no problem getting in. If they paid on time and they've gone through other stuff, has no problem moving into a $250,000 or $300,000 house with less down in the whole nine yards and stuff like that. So it's a tough. That's what's one of the things holding them back. But these guys aren't in that position. They're selling more expensive homes. Yeah. And
well,
stuff
and
like
it's
that.
New home inventory they're trying to put on the ground. And
yeah.
At least here in Metro Atlanta, you're still seeing in some of the work that we've done with you know, a local home builder here that it's coming back, and everybody wants to say it's coming back, but it's still hyper local. It's still extremely targeted.
Yeah.
It's not ubiquitous across the market.
Where Teddy lives, and Zed lives around the country club in that area, Lennar's coming in and putting them, so they bought a couple hundred memberships to the golf course for social memberships and stuff like that.
And you know what happened? And I notice it now if you drive around the area. Everyone and their grandmother who were on the fence about selling their property, whether it's 10 years old or 50 years old, you see for sale signs on a lot of homes around there.
Yep.
Yeah,
which
will
stunt the comeback a little bit.
Yeah.
It really will. Because their opinion of what they want to sell it for, to your point earlier, Teddy, is a little bit better. They're hoping it's back a little bit more than it really is just yet. The comps aren't quite there yet because the bank standards are too high.
Yeah, there's a division called Overlook that's right on the golf course there. I can't believe how many homes have been built there in the last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that guy was, I'm not going out of school to say he was hanging on by his fingernails. I know that personally, okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, boom, sells a home. Boom, sells a home. That's two homes and stuff like that in there. And so that area is out there is pretty red hot where you live. And
I hope I hope the prices just go up 30%, Gene. Because I bought it, sweet spot.
You did. And three and an eighth mortgage looks all the better, too.
Yeah.
Navistar, they build trucks. They've been
struggling.
They've had losses for years and years. They built a crappy truck, and it's a low-priced truck.
And that is a technical term,
yes. Yes, it is. No, they are the Yugo of the
the semi industry.
Semi-trailer industry. You're going to want a Peterbilt or something like that. You know, yeah, Mercedes-Benz, a Kenworth, something like that if you go along. But evidently their losses are less than they were.
Yeah, okay? A little.
Yeah.
Junky earnings.
H&R Block, well, of course they lose money this time of the year. When does H&R Block make their money? Let me make a guess. How about the fourth and the first quarter of the year?
Yeah. Well,
that'd just be my guess.
Wonder why.
Yeah.
PVH, I was trying to think what PVH
they made
was.
Calvin Klein. And a few other, Tommy Hilfiger.
Okay.
Yeah, and they had great earnings. Their shares were up 10% today. Good numbers. I mean, you know, that's they're in between the really high end and the low end. So.
Okay. And Joy Global, which is heavy equipment, they're slowing down a bit. It's not terrible.
No.
Because they make a lot of coal mining equipment, and that had been slowed down like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try and make some money here.
We'll be right back.
All right. Come back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.